You're here that's teaching us so much. Thank you for this day. Thank you for this beautiful world you've given us. If we take time to look at everything, please forgive us for all of the corruption, for all of the sins, for all of the things that are going on. Please forgive this whole country. We need it so badly. And help us learn tonight what we're here to learn, and just bless us and forgive us. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Okay, put my mic on. I'm just going to show a couple of things that I got in the mail, and it's only a couple of things, so we can get on with our Bible study. This seems to be from Australia, and I'm thinking it says P-E-R-T-H, Australia. It has a W-A, but I don't know what that's for. City of Humanity. Anyway, it's the name is Tania Sherman, and she sent us these t-shirts, Pastor Ben, and I'm going to read it because she made me laugh. It says, I pray that this parcel gets to you before the cloud party arrives. I've enclosed a t-shirt for both you and our laugher. That's Pastor Ben. GTO is an acronym for giving hope to others. Wow. As we know, our one and only hope is Jesus, the way, the truth, and the life. Our Lord sure changed our lives by transforming our hearts through His Holy Spirit. Thank you for sending the good news. Oh, see, I should have took it out the package. I'm trying to read it while it's in there. That's because this was yours. Because it said, nope, this was mine. It's a double X. And it says, thank you for spreading the good news and doing God's will. Blessing always in all ways to you and the Soldiers for Christ family. Lots of love from Tania Sherman in somewhere in Australia, Perth, Australia, it looked like. Yeah. Wow. Well, thank you. I love it. We were sitting here saying, what's GHTO stand for? But that is beautiful. I will wear it proudly. I'll take a picture of it. Okay, Pastor Ben. Now, somebody knows my great passion is reading, which I can, if I had nothing, I wish I could just read all day. I really do. It's like jazz in a book or opera in a book. Ooh. Ah, see, you guys didn't know that about me. It's like, okay, and then she sent us the Hanukkah card. Pastor Ben's too busy. And then she wrapped it in this beautiful Christmas gift. Ooh, was I not supposed to wait? No, I can't wait. I'm planning on leaving by December 14th. I can't wait. And now this is the ancient Hebrew letter and alphabet. This is a study. And I've got some tags in there. I guess it's going to want me to look at it. Now, the person that sent this is Mark and Nancy Webster. But it doesn't say where they're from. But look at this, Pastor Ben.
Beautiful.
Now, the only way I could look at this before is I have it online. I could look at it. But the lexicon, the ancient Hebrew lexicon Bible, gives you a lot of information concerning the letters, what their meanings and everything like that. So you can look into things deeper. Somebody sent me a message saying, why are you reading from any other Bible than the King James Version? And because some people think like the King James Version is divine, but it has a lot of mistakes. And all you got to do is hand it to a Jewish guy and he will look at it and he will say, there's so many mistakes in here, but we see they meant right when they wrote this, but this is what that really means, you know? And so that's why the Bible says to study to show thyself approved. Still to this day, I have not found an English Bible that says Abraham said to his son, Elohim will appear in the future as the Lamb, which is what the Hebrew says, right? The other, every English version says God will provide a lamb. And I'm like, and there's nowhere in that whole scripture that it uses the word provide. Yes.
I got a transliteral Bible.
Uh-huh.
I ordered that. I have that. I can bring it.
Did it say?
Where's it at? I'll look.
It's Genesis 22, verse 8. And then, that scripture in Hebrews says it very plainly. Elohim yirah lo, as the lamb. He will appear himself as the lamb. And it uses the yod in front of the to see, which means he will appear. So it's a future thing. But in every English version, rather King James or whatever, it says God will provide a lamb. God's not providing anything. God says, I am the lamb and I'm going to appear as the lamb. So that would clear up a whole lot of arguments, whether Jesus is God or not. Right. But, you know, when you get English, now you're arguing over something that the Hebrew made plain. So anyway, here's a card from Yini, and I want her to do something if she's online. She said her husband and her son had a rap music, and I wanted to listen to it. So if Yini, if you could give us, send it to Pastor Ben, how we can listen to that music, because my boys, we're all into gospel rap. So please send it so I can listen to it. Thank you, Yini, for your card. And of course, she sends me my favorite card all the time because I'm a good person to have in the world. That's what she says. And here we have from Charlene and Marlene. These are the two sisters that got baptized, Pastor Ben. I want to thank you again for baptizing my sister and I. We were so thrilled. When you said you would baptize us, we appreciate your love and support as you walked us through it. Our day was made more special because of you. We love you, Pastor Sandy. Keep barking. God bless you, Pastor Ben, and the S4C Church. Charlene and Marlene, the twins who got baptized by phone, because this is 2020. Hallelujah. Okay, let me set all this stuff aside, and thank you. Thank you, guys, for everyone who is giving to the ministry. I really thank you. Pastor Ben thanks you. We are definitely doing wonderful things. I want to get ready for tonight's Bible study. You guys have your notes tonight? Man, I'm getting over Brent's sitting there looking all buff like he could protect us all. I'm like, that is so cool. I did. We're going to look at some very important things from Sunday message, because I was very happy to see how many of you understood the message. Did you guys understand Sunday's message? Yeah. Did you guys understand what I was trying to show you? Because it's a matter of understanding that God Almighty set some dates in the Bible. And he set the dates many years before the dates came to be, right? So when he set the date for the day the flood would begin, and then to say the flood's going to last 40 days, that means at the end of that 40 days was a specific date, right? Well, the end of that 40 days, since the flood has been from Heshvan 17 to the fourth day of Hanukkah. Now, that's kind of crazy, because you go in the flood, Hanukkah didn't even get created till, 168 BC, right? And so you don't really even have Hanukkah yet. But God does let us know 17th of Heshvan, then 40 days after that, but not until the boat went up 15 cubits, and then This, the eight people were fully above the earth after the 40 days and the 15 cubits going up, right? So you look at this and you go, okay, so when did God know that on the fourth day of Hanukkah in the future, he was going to resurrect a guy in Bethany to commemorate the fourth day of Hanukkah? This is like I'm pre-planning, and with doing it, how does that link to the flood? Because remember, God says to me, it will be as it was in the days of Noah. So I'm like, oh my goodness, I got to go back and study Noah. But what we didn't, but what we didn't see is that God is pre-planning every date, every time. And he pre-planned the 40 days to be on the fourth day of Hanukkah, even though the fourth day of Hanukkah had not existed yet. Okay? Now, we're going to look at some things. So I might go over to the board a little bit, Pastor Ben. I don't want to make you get up too much. But I want us to look at our notes. And it says, Lazarus on the fourth day of Hanukkah. Okay. Shalom to all our people out in YouTube. I appreciate all of you. I'm going to read off some names to tomorrow, Pastor Ben, because there's a lot of people who commented on Sunday's message, and I appreciated all of the comments. Yeah. And so I wanted to just acknowledge them because they, I don't teach like most pastors. Sometimes things could go like this. People walk out and go, you know what I mean? Like, what the, what's a Semek letter and what's a 120 and what's gematria and all this stuff, you know? But God told me not to dumb his people down. You know what I mean? Don't teach you like you can't learn. Like if you can learn this, I mean, you played football. Anybody can learn it. I don't know if that was a compliment, but God was like letting me know you can, people can learn if you teach them. Don't try to dumb people down with a simple message because you think that's all that they can handle. God made us very intelligent people. We're made to have understanding of scripture. We're made to love learning. So when I'm teaching you, I want you to understand that God wrote the Bible, and he wrote it in a specific way for you to understand it. But under the layers of the book are all kinds of meanings, cryptic understandings, raptures, all typologies. All of this stuff is in scripture, and it's supposed to so when you study it, you get a clear understanding of what God is trying to show you, okay? And you get a clear understanding of how powerful God is. Because, here, let's look at the scriptures first. We'll get over to the board in a minute. Okay. Lazarus raised on the fourth day, okay? The 40 days from the 17th of Heshvan is always going to be the fourth of Hanukkah. That's from the very beginning of time. You understand? From the very beginning of that flood, 40 days after the flood is always going to be on the fourth of Hanukkah. Only thing was, the fourth of Hanukkah had not been invented yet. Okay? Then it said, which was going to be the 27th, 28th of Kislev. Kislev is, 24th of Kislev is the first day of Hanukkah, and then you count forward. Okay? 40 is the number of testing in the Bible. 40 ends the test. From Elul 1 to Tishri 10 is Yom Kippur. This is when Moses went up on the mountain on Elul first, and he stayed there for 40 days until the 10th of Tishri. And when he came down from the mountain, his face was glowing, and he came down to give them a new covenant and new tablets. But he came back down on Yom Kippur on the 10th of Tishri. That's to commemorate the exact day that Jesus is going to return on the earth. We know when Jesus is coming back to the earth, We know the exact date. It will be on the 10th of Tishri at the end of the tribulation, okay? So God already marked a day that he's going to come back, and it's going to be on the same exact day that Moses came from the mountain and came down to give Israel a new covenant. And why is Jesus coming back? He's coming down to give Israel a new covenant because they're going to cry out to him, right? And then Moses' face was glowing so much that the people started to run. They thought they were in trouble. And Moses called them back and said, your sins have been forgiven. I brought you a new covenant. And this is what's going to happen with Jesus, right? On Yom Kippur, at the end of the tribulation, he's going to come down. And they're going to be afraid because they remember they crucified him. And then he's going to say, but I'm not mad at you. Come back. I'm here to give you a new covenant, the covenant of Jesus Christ, the covenant of grace, which the Gentiles have already received, but now you're going to receive it. So that's, but the date was already set. You understand? That date's already set. Now, let me finish reading this. The time of Moses, okay, the time Moses went up to the time he came down. The flood lasted for 40 days, which God knew at the end of this 40 days is setting a marker for something in the future. The end from 17th of Heshvan, 40 days later, is setting the marker for something that's going to happen in the future. What happened? Let's go to Genesis chapter 8, 7, and then we'll see what happened here. I'm going to grab my. See, now I'm going to grab my King James, because this Bible doesn't do it on this one. Okay. And I'm going to grab my glasses. Are you there in Genesis chapter 7? Okay. Now, in Genesis chapter 7, it gives you this whole history. And okay, Genesis chapter 7. So we'll start at verse 11, okay? Because it says, in the 600th year of Noah's life, on the second month, on the 17th day of the month, on that day, all the fountains of the deep were broken open, and the windows of heaven were open. And the rain was on the earth for 40 days and 40 nights. So now he's letting you know when the rain started, and then he's letting you know when the rain ended, okay? But he also wants you to know when the boat was fully above the earth, okay? Because on the first day of the flood, the boat was not above the earth. Then it says in verse 13, on that very day, Noah and Noah's sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth, and Noah's wife, and the three wives of his sons, with them entered the ark, and they and every beast of its kind, and cattle, and all of this. Let's go to verse 16. Then it says, so those that entered, male and female, of all flesh, went in, as God had commanded him, and the Lord shut him in. Now, the flood was on the earth for 40 days. It mentions it again, right? The waters increased, lifted up the ark, and it rose above the earth. The waters prevailed greatly on the earth, and the ark moved above the surface of the water. And the waters prevailed exceedingly on the earth, and all the high hills of the whole heaven, the waters prevailed 15 cubits upward, and the mountains were covered, and all flesh died that moved upon the earth. Okay? So, God is not going to tell you something for no reason. He's letting you know this is how it happened, okay? It rained for 40 days. Remember we were talking about the 17th of Heshvan? And I'm telling you, when the rapture didn't happen on the 17th of Heshvan, I was just like, well, that's impossible. Because you started grace on the 17th of Nisan, and you marked it. And Jesus Christ did not resurrect on the 20th of Nisan. Jesus did not resurrect on the 14th, on the 15th of Nisan. You said the day that grace begins, the day that everything, will eret, which means the curse will be reversed, will be on the 17th of Heshvan. I mean the 17th of Nisan. And on the 17th of Nisan, Jesus Christ resurrected from the grave to commemorate the fact that the flood had come to rest on Mount Ararat, and it was the end of the flood on the 17th of Nisan. All of this, so God told us during the time of the flood, then he had Jesus Christ resurrect from the grave on the exact day he had the boat land on Mount Ararat on the 17th of Nisan. And then he doesn't just have it rest on any part of the earth. He has it rest on the part of the earth that's called Ararat, which means reverse the curse. And so now you're commemorating when the curse is going to be reversed, because the curse couldn't be reversed until Jesus resurrected. And people say, oh, well, he died on the 14th of Nisan. Yeah, but believe me, the exciting thing was him getting up, because now victory was won over death. So God marked that day. And so 3,500 years later, Jesus rises from the grave on the exact same day. And I'm going, wow. Now, if we know when grace begins, let's see when grace ends. Okay? God told Noah, 120 years is done. Okay? So in 120 years, Noah is 600 years old. It's been 120 years. And the flood begins on the 17th of Heshvan. Okay? So now we're saying, wow, the flood began on the 17th. So now we know when grace ends, on the 17th of Heshvan. But what we didn't read was what? That began the flood. That began the water. That began the time where the destruction was getting closer. And now you're looking at a 40-day slot, and you're saying, what's going to happen after the 40 days? Well, the boat's going to go up 15 cubits, and then it'll be over all of the earth. But that won't be till when? 40 days after. What's 40 days after? After the 17th of Heshvan. The 4th of Hanukkah. We don't know that then, because Hanukkah's not invented, right? Here, let's look at this. I want us to look at some very important things. On Sunday, when I read about Eleazar, in Genesis chapter 15, verse 1 and 2, it says, Eleazar of Damascus. Let's go to that. Genesis chapter 15, verse 1 and 2. Give me my... Where's... My pages are stuck together. I'm going to have to... Now, this is where you find out about this guy named Eleazar, okay? This begins to tell you the whole story. Because what it says here is, after this, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision. Do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield, your very great reward. Abram said, O sovereign Lord, what can you give me since I remain childless? And the one who will inherit my estate is Eleazar of Damascus. Now, Eleazar means helper. Okay. What does Damascus mean? Perfect love. Where did Paul meet Jesus? On the road to Damascus. So Eleazar is the helper who helps people do what? Find perfect love. So Eleazar is the Greek word is talia, which means perfect love. Eleazar means the helper who's helping what? For each and every human being to find perfect love. Who is Eleazar? Eleazar is the name of the Holy Spirit. He's the helper. Jesus says, I am leaving, but I will not leave you without, my Father will send the helper, right? So Eleazar is the helper. He's the one that later God says, Abraham says, come here, I need you now to go and find my son a wife and bring the wife back here, right? So Eleazar is all, the Holy Spirit's story is always in the scriptures. You understand? So as this scripture is being told about Eleazar, we're finding out who he is because Eleazar means the helper and Damascus means like on the road to perfect love. Okay. So the Holy Spirit helped us all find what? Perfect love. And when we get married at the wedding feast, guess what? We found perfect love. The bride, the groom, the wedding, we found perfect love. So Eleazar is numerical value. No, Damascus is numerical value of 444, which is the door, right? So the door to perfect love is Jesus Christ, who is the door, and this is going to lead you to perfect love. You see how understanding the words and the names are always going to lead you to a stronger understanding of scripture, right? Yeah. So the Holy Spirit now, his job is, he's still at work, right? Because what is the Holy Spirit here to do? A pastor asked me a long time, what's the Holy Spirit here to do? And they was doing some crazy preaching. And I said, and they were just going off. And I said, the Holy Spirit is basically here to find a bride for Jesus. And they couldn't understand that, like that didn't make sense to them. You understand? You know, like he's here to give us gifts and I was like, he's here basically, his big job is he's here to find a bride for Jesus and to find people that will accept this wedding invitation so he can take us back to be with Jesus. The whole story of the Holy Spirit. His job is almost over.
Yeah.
His job's almost over. So when his job's over, he's going to take us back. That's his job. But it has to happen in order, okay? Because he can't take us back until the Father says it's time for the wedding. He can't leave until the trumpet blows. You understand? So we have to understand the structure of the scriptures and what the Lord is telling us. So Eleazar, the helper, is leading us to perfect love, or which is talia agape. And then in chapter 24, he's sent out to find a bride. Then we have Lazarus. We get to the story of Lazarus. And we find out that Lazarus is just another name deriving from the word Eleazar. It just means God's helper. So God is going to tell the story about when he's going to leave heaven, when he's going to come back to earth, when he's going to call out Eleazar to bring forth the dead and the bride. And he's going to give you step by step how he does it.
Yeah.
And that's what we read in John chapter 10. We read in John chapter 10 the story. Now, Jesus, God does this all the time in scripture. You remember the time when Jesus, when the whole family went The whole family went took a trip. I think they went to Jerusalem, and Jesus was with them, right?
Right.
He was a little boy. He's 12 years old or something. And they leave. They leave. The Jews, the mother and the father, Mary and the family, the whole caravan leaves, and they're on their way back to Bethlehem. And they travel for how long? 2 days. And then they realize, oh my goodness, Jesus is not here. Have anybody seen him? So now they got to turn back or repent and return because they realized God was not with them.
Uh-huh.
Who is that representing? The families represent the Jewish nation. For 2,000 years, they're going to walk away because a day is 1,000 years, 1,000 years a day. They're going to walk away from 2,000 years, and they're going to walk away from Jesus and realize they walked away from God. They're going to have to repent, return, and go back and find Jesus, and they'll find him in the temple teaching the rabbis the Bible at the age of 12, right? So every story in the Bible is trying to tell you a bigger story about God's structure of the scriptures, okay? So, when Jesus first heard about Lazarus, did he say, oh, this can't happen, let's go now? You know what the scripture says? He waited 2 days. He says, I'll go back there, but I gotta wait 2 days. Why? Listen to what happened to the woman at the well. It said Jesus told her that he's the Messiah, and then she went and told her brothers, and then they believed in Jesus, and then now they're Samaritans, they're not Jews, and it said Jesus stayed with the Samaritans for 2 days. Then on the third day, he went back to the Jews, and they received him with a great welcome. So you see the 2 days that he preached the gospel to the Gentiles. Then after the 2 days, he went back to the Jews, and then now all of a sudden they believe. All of this stuff that's in scripture is giving you God's structure of the word so that you understand where we're at, especially in this last moment that we're in. Because people are panicking now.
Yeah.
You know that?
Yeah.
People are panicking now. And I'm like walking out and I see the Red Sea and I'm dancing. And people are panicking. They're like, oh my God, I've gotten so much information about what they're about to do. It's absolutely crazy, you know? And someone asked me today, do you think that that will ruin the DNA of, I think it's his daughter or a friend of his, said, do you think it will ruin her DNA if she takes the vaccine? And I said, yes. It will ruin her DNA. So, because I was studying DNA, and I was like, well, you can't burn it away. You know, somebody says, well, if you get cremated, how are you going to be resurrected? Your DNA can't. Cremation does not ruin your DNA. Sorry to tell you. They could scoop through that and find you right in there.
That's true.
Okay? Time cannot. You can leave it on a doorstep through rain and sleet and come back and scrape it up, and you will find your DNA. So understand, but now, so since you can't destroy DNA, only thing you can do is modify it while it's in a living state, and then when it dies, it's destroyed. You understand? So that's the plan of Satan. I can't destroy you. The only way I can destroy you is to ruin who you are while you're in a living state. So if I destroy your DNA, then I've destroyed you, because now you've taken on a new, because the whole thing is when you take it, it's going to split your DNA. It's going to make an opening. It's like this. Your DNA is closed like this. When they give it to you, it's going to open your DNA and open a gap like that. And the new DNA is going to fit in right there, and then it'll start replicating. This is what recombinant DNA technology is. And it'll start replicating. And so that's the whole thing about Satan is. So the lady was saying, who would do something like that? The lady said, Satan. She said, Satan hates humans, and this is what they're planning. She was a doctor. I was surprised to hear her say, Satan is doing this.
Yeah.
These people are satanic. So that's the only way they could ruin people during the flood was that angels were mixing with humans and ruining the DNA of God's creation. Yeah. So God said he had to reserve some so that he can, you know, save the DNA of the human race that he had created. So understand that we're at this last time, we're at this end time, but God has not left us without a plan and knowing what the plan is. It will be as it was in the days of Noah is the greatest hint that or clue that someone can give you, and Jesus gave that to us. I'm going to go further down before we get into the more of the Bible study. Bethany. Someone sent me a message, said her daughter name is Bethany, and she said that she's not well now, but it was amazing that Bethany, and you look at Bethany, Bethany's always where somebody's getting healed, because they said Bethany, the name of Bethany was called the House of Misery. You realize that? And you know why they called it the House of Misery? Because the people who needed healing hung out there. And I think they hung out there because that pool of thing was there, that pool of, and then you could jump in and if the angels came. So they hung out in Bethany, and correct me if I'm wrong, but they hung out in Bethany. But the name of the city, Bethany, the original name of the city of Bethany means the house of unripe figs. So if Israel is the fig tree, and we're living in the fig tree generation, I'll tell you one thing, the figs are not ready for Jesus. So when Jesus goes back to Bethany, where's he going back to? He's going back to the land where the figs aren't ready. The figs are not ripe. So God made the city where he's going back to resurrect Lazarus on the 4th of Hanukkah, a city called, when I get there, the figs will not be ready. And so when Jesus arrives back here on earth, Israel will not be ready. They'll still be saying, you know, Trump's the Messiah or whatever they're saying. You know, they'll believe anybody is the Messiah except Jesus. Yep. Now, we have Messianic Jews, and thank God that there's a big movement to get people to understand Christ. But on the whole, I'll tell you right now, and I can show you some videos, people trying to preach the gospel in Israel, and people will spit on you. What? Yeah, they will. There's one video, they were having a Christian or messianic service, and some rabbis or some radicals, they weren't Muslims, they were Jews, were outside trying to burn the church down. They were setting fire to it. So you got to understand, they can't stand Jesus even to this very day. Do I blame them? I don't blame them, because God is the one that said, I blinded them so that they can't see, they can't understand. Because if they did see and they did understand, they would repent and turn and be saved. And God's like, no, it's not time for that. They're going to get saved when they call out my name, and then I return and rescue them. Yeah. You understand? And if they believe before, when Jesus is here and nobody crucifies Jesus, the whole Gentile world is lost. Yeah. Imagine the Jews going, don't crucify him. He's a great guy. Woo. You have no hope. I have no hope. I'm in the world, a sinner. I have no idea to get out of it. But somebody said 2,000 years ago, crucify him. And we say, oh, those horrible Jews. And God said, I blinded them to do it. And I came to die. I embraced the cross, because a few may die or a few may be sacrificed for the many, but they're not being sacrificed, because God's coming back again and he's going to reattach them back to the branch and save them as well. You understand? So it's a great idea to say, I'm going to save the whole Gentile world, and I'm going to choose a small group of people to do it. And then after I save the whole Gentile world, I'm going to come back and save those that I called to do what I asked them to do.
Yes.
It's a great plan. But all of this stuff is being planned by God, okay? So we have this. Let me see if I, oh, okay. Now, this is the other thing. So he goes back to this land. Jesus is about to go back to this land, and the land is called unripe figs because Israel won't be ready. And the land is also called the house of misery. Why is it called the house of misery? Because people are waiting there. They need to be healed. Okay. So now Jesus is going to go back to this place. But where is Jesus when he gets the message that Lazarus is sick? Where's Jesus when he gets the message that Lazarus is sick? He's in Jerusalem. What does Jerusalem mean? The city of peace. Ir Salam. Okay. Jerusalem is the city of peace.
Yes.
Where's Jesus right now? He's in the heavenly Jerusalem. And guess where he's at? He's in Solomon's colonnade. He's in the temple of God.
Yes.
And he gets news. The one you love is sick. Oh, I know they're sick, but it's not to death. They're not sick to death. I'm going to resurrect them. Don't worry about it. You know what I mean? Uh-huh. He says, yeah, the one you, well, I'm going to still stay here for 2,000 years. And he stays there for 2,000 years in heaven, knowing that Lazarus is sick. It's okay. He waits around. Then he says, hey, let's go to Judea. And the apostles say to him, are you crazy? We were just there and they tried to kill you. That's like Jesus in heaven going, I think I'm going to go back to earth. They go, are you crazy? We were just there. They tried to kill you. He says, yeah, don't worry about it. He says, you know, I got to do the work while it's daytime, because when nighttime, you can't do the work. Right. And I got to, and nighttime is the tribulation.
Yes.
And so I got to get the work done in the daytime. So let's go back. We got to save our people while it's still day.
Yeah.
So he makes a proclamation. We're going to save them before the darkness comes. Pre-tribulation. Do you guys get that?
We get it.
So now he's going to go back. And he's going to go back. And when he gets there, guess what? The figs still aren't ready. And guess what? The people need healing. Because there's some people that are in the grave that know Christ that need to come out of the grave.
Yes, yes.
But he's got to make the sound. He's got to call out. You notice when Jesus got there, he didn't just walk in the tomb and go, Lazarus, come on. He didn't do that. Why? Because the trumpet has to blast.
Yes.
Eleazar has to be called out. It's time for the wedding, Eleazar.
Yes.
Then, and then when he said, Lazarus, come forth. Lazarus comes forth, but what's coming forth? What was a dead body comes forth out of the grave, a resurrection.
Woo!
On the 4th of Hanukkah, exactly 40 days after the 17th of Heshvan.
Yeah.
Which didn't exist when the flood happened. But Jesus is giving you a picture of it. Of the rescue and how it happens. Now, listen to this also when he gets there, because it says it was about a mile and a half from Jerusalem, 15 furlongs. So Jesus walked from Jerusalem. He left Jerusalem, the temple of God, went to a place where the figs aren't ready and people need healing, and it took him 15 furlongs to get there. And until he walked the 15 furlongs, Eleazar could not get resurrected until he arrived.
Right.
The boat could not be above the earth and rescued until when?
15.
Till 15 cubits high. Is it just a coincidence that both are 15? Is it a coincidence? It's not a coincidence. How do we know? Because we're Hebrew students.
That's right.
We know that 15 is the letter of the Hebrew alphabet for what? For the 120. So at the end of the 120, which you are in what? Psalms 120, which stands for what year? 2020. So it's not just 15. The letter 15 in Hebrew is, I dare you, while you're at home, to go 1 plus 2 plus 3 plus 4 plus 5 plus 6 plus 7 plus 8 plus 9 plus 10 plus 11 plus 12 plus 13 plus 14 plus 15, and then hit calculate, and it'll say 120.
Yeah. Ooh, yeah.
Because Samech is 120.
10 minutes past.
That's why he goes up, the boat goes up 15 cubits. That's why he walked 15. That's why every 15 in the Bible. That's why Hezekiah is given 15 more years.
Yeah.
And then he says, don't worry, I'm giving you 15 more years, and on the third day you're going to go up and be in the presence of God. And Hezekiah goes, how do I know this? He says, I'm going to turn the clock back. I'm going to give you 15 more years. Why 15? 120. And then you're going up to where? To the house of God.
Awesome.
So that's what I want to introduce you to. Because what I'm introducing you to is this. Enoch means dedication. Enoch was raptured. Hanukkah means dedication. Hanukkah just is Enoch. That's all it is. It's Hanak. Hanukkah is dedication. Enoch gets raptured, but only one person gets raptured. And the body of Christ is what? One body. Ask Enoch about the flood. And when you get there, I know nothing about it. It happened after I left.
That's right.
Ask the body of Christ. Tell us about the flood. We know nothing about it. Weren't there. Because Jesus says, in the daytime, I do my work because my people can't be there when it's night.
Yes. Love it.
So I got to go back and walk these 15 furlongs.
Yes.
and call out Eleazar to bring forth the living. OK, because this is a pre-tribulation thing. You understand?
Makes so much sense. 5 minutes, Pastor.
How did God plan this? Do you really? We could sit up here and just blow our own brains, right? Just watch each other's brains pop. Because you go, God, how did you choose 66 books of the Bible and why? And why did you make Psalms the 19th book of the Bible? And why is Psalms the 19th book and the 48th chapter talk about the rebirth of the nation of Israel? That's 1948. Wait a minute. There was no 1948 until after Jesus was born. So how did you know it was going to be 1948? And why would you set the Bible up where it focuses on 1948?
Yeah.
And there's no such thing. Because the year you put Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 5, watch this. The year you put in the Bible for the year that Israel would return to the land Deuteronomy 30 verse 5 says what? Let me get to it. Here we go. He will bring you to the land that belonged to your fathers, and you will take possession of it. He will make you more prosperous and numerous than your fathers. That now, for a Hebrew student, they're counting verses in the Torah. When you get to this verse, it's the verse 5,708, which is the Hebrew year for 1948. So wait a minute. You said it's going to happen. Because if you ask Israel, when did you guys come back into the land? They'll say 5708. And you'll go, oh, you mean 1948? Well, we don't have 1948 here. You go to Israel right now, I think it's, what, 5781 or something like that. But anyway, they're saying it's 5708, right? They're going, hey, wait a minute. We came back to the land in 5708. That's 1948. Well, in the 5708 verse of the Torah, it speaks about you coming back in the land and God bringing you back to the land. So God already knew what year you were coming back. And wait a minute, that's 1948. So God planned the Bible where if you count back from Revelation to Psalms, it's 48 books. But if you count from Genesis to Psalms, it's 19 books.
1948.
So you put Psalms in the Bible to commemorate the year that you're going to count the last generation, and the rebirth of the fig tree is 1948, and you already put it in the Bible. Well, what about what happened at the UN in 1947? Did you put that in there, Psalms too? Oh yeah, go to Psalms 47, read at the end, it says all the leaders of the world will meet and make a decision about the people of Abraham.
Crazy.
That happened in the UN in 1947. So you prophesying every year what's going to happen? So that clears up the fact that God can make the flood happen. God could start the flood, end it in 40 days, make the boat go up 15 cubits to commemorate a day in the future where he's going to leave Jerusalem, go to a place where people need to be resurrected. And since the boat can't go up 15 cubits, he's going to walk 15 furlongs and resurrect and call out Eleazar to bring forth the bride.
Amazing.
And then I'm serious. When I was doing this study, my head was just like, what did you, how did you?
3 minutes, Pastor.
There's very few magicians that could get me off guard, you know, but if you get a good one, you go, how'd you do that? This is what I'm at home studying this going, how did you, wait a minute. That story about raising Lazarus is to commemorate 40 days after the flood and you walking 15 furlongs to call forth the resurrected dead out of the ground and to bring forth the bride. Too much. But guess what? But look at this. Perfect timing. It's like, what's that? Is there a song that goes like that? Like, God's always on time, right?
He may not come when you want him.
Yeah. He may not come when you want him, but he's always on time.
Right.
I love that song. My mama loved that song.
Yeah, it's a great song.
Because look at where we're at. And I keep telling Christians, you in a jacked up situation. So you can either believe in Jesus or you can scream and panic and run around and pull your hair out. Me, I've been waiting to get to the Red Sea. Matter of fact, I'm at the Red Sea and I'm the only person dancing because I know what's about to happen.
Amen.
And if you're a Christian and you don't understand what's about to happen, you think God doesn't keep promises. Or you think Jesus is the type that can give a ring to a bride, leave, say, I'm coming back, I'm going to build your house, and then say, oh, I forgot about you, sorry about that.
Mm.
If that's what you believe. Or you can believe that God is the type of God that said, I'm going to bring you back into your land in the 5708 year, and then 5708 come, 1948 is there, and God goes, whoops, I forgot to bring you back to your land.
Huh.
It's never happened that way. So for the people of God to think, oh my God, they're going to kill us all now. The Egyptians are coming and they got syringes. That's where we're at. And somebody's got to go. Can't wait. Watch this. Watch this one. Okay? Because I know God's people are about to get delivered.
Yes, sir.
God's been leading me to this. Every knowledgeable Bible study he's given me since he gave me the 6,000 year count, January 1st, 2003, 17 years ago, he gave me that Bible study. And he said, I want you to accurately count 6,000 years in the Bible so you'll know when the 6,000 year end, and you'll know when you're on the early morning on the third day. God gave me that study, and he's been guiding me and guiding me and guiding me. Brokenhearted, I don't want to do it no more. Get back to doing what I told you. More knowledge, more knowledge. And you know why people still listen to me? Because they know he knows a lot. Who is he learning the Bible from?
That's right.
No PhD or nothing.
You didn't go to Bible school?
Chuck Missler student, that's me.
Amen.
Chuck Missler, J.R. Church, Dan Mattson, whoever God led me to say, because he said, your mission has not changed. And I expect people to come to church here. And eventually, I always knew they'd leave, but because they would not be able to endure what I had to endure. And what's that? You got to go through a whole process until I lead you and lead the people out of here. It's like following Noah for 120 years. Some people are like, man, he's crazy. After 50 years, he's been talking this craziness for 50 years. I'm out of here. But the day is coming. You know why it's coming? Because we're at the door. We're right at the edge. We're right at the edge. They're planning it. The Egyptians are coming. They're on chariots. They got syringes. The DNA stuff is in it. And they're charging toward us. God planned this back when he did the flood, he planned it. And then he showed it to you as he raised Lazarus from the dead. Don't worry, I got you. You will not see the nighttime. You will only, I'm going to do the work in the day because you will not see the nighttime. Read John 10 and 11 again and think about what God is showing you. Because he's just showing you the resurrection. He starts off 10 by saying, oh, by the way, I'm the door. When I lead my, I call them my name and they follow me and I lead them out. Praise God.
Amen.
I'm excited. I hope everybody's excited. If they're not excited, man, you don't understand what type of God you're dealing with. And I'm expecting something incredible to happen. Praise God.
Yes. Amen.
Hallelujah.